would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 130 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello. So we're at Shea Paul tonight.
Yes, we
the
are.
Winter Palace.
Yeah.
Winter Gardens. What else can we call it?
Yeah, Winter Palace, that's
Winter
good.
Palace, yeah. We've got the cat.
We've got the cat who's, like, loving life. Like, there's no kids around.
Kids are in bed, so
they're... Kids are in bed, and we have two cameras here, like, watching the kids.
It feels like you're, like, some kind of security guard at, like...
Doing,
one of those night shifts in front of the screen.
Oh my god, yeah. That's kind of it, actually.
And we were going to record at my house, but there was a late change of plans, which is good because it is fucking freezing tonight.
Yeah.
And we'd have been out in the garage freezing our trolleys off trying to do YouTube.
Yeah. It would have been. And but we'll go into that before the main topic is just like how we're going to like crack forward with some YouTube videos.
Okay, cool. Right, so as always, we start with what's been happening in Paul's world.
So
I try and keep it under half an hour.
Oh, no, I'll just keep it brief.
We'll assume you've been painting some shit, right?
Yeah. I've done the entire Fellowship of the Ring.
You talked about that last time.
Okay, I did, yeah. I've been playing Demons. So I'm yet to win a game of Demons.
It could be your list building. It could be your putting the general in every combat.
It could be. Yeah, like, though I hear that's a really good thing to do.
What did Jim play and how did you lose?
Well, first of all, I played Rodders.
You played Jim first, didn't you?
Oh, I played Rodders and Jim.
Yeah.
You
played Jim first.
Okay, so I played Jim first. And Jim used... hang on. Like, what did Jim use?
I was supposed to play him this Wednesday and I bailed to watch football and it was a fucking miserable experience. So.
Oh, that's nice of you. Yeah, like,
I watch football with my daughter, so it's kind of trapped between a rock and a hard place.
So
you played Jim, he played an army list and beat you.
Yeah. Christ, how can I forget that? How can I forget what Jim used?
I don't know, but you have. And now we're going to hear some printing going on.
No, Empire. He used Empire.
Good. Yes. What kind of Empire? Mm. Don't send it to print while we're recording.
He used a list that was it was a pretty standard Empire list as I remember. Yeah, like though he didn't have a flight, he didn't have any of the Terracorsan characters, so like he didn't have any guys mounted on Griffins.
Right.
So he did take a hefty amount of knights, and he used pistoliers to guard his cannons, and he took a full brigade of halberdiers with skirmishers.
It was
pretty solid, really.
Strong list. Yeah, good. Vanilla list.
I mean, and it...
Probably six knights, two pistoliers.
That kind of build. And Jim did it well. We actually played two games.
Beat that quick?
Well, no, I lost my general straight up pretty fast.
Oh, like, who'd have thought?
The fighting character
that is your general.
Yeah.
You are going to lose your general.
Mm-hmm.
You might not lose him every single fight, but over the course of games, you are going to lose games from losing your general.
Just don't make him
your general.
I can't help but that model is too good. Like, as in terms of like the model I'm using at the moment.
What, my hero that I use for the event?
Yeah, but that's the difference between you and I, isn't it? I look at a guy and be like, he's clearly the general. He's like way bigger and more.
No, the general's the woman. the inconspicuous one at the back that you would never notice is the one really pulling the strings.
Really pulling the strings, one hiding. We played two games.
Did he win both then?
He won both. The first game was I committed my general into with a unit of beasts, and they just bounced off trying to attack some defended. Empire infantry.
And they got run down by knights in the flank, probably.
We just got countered by the world, didn't they? Yeah. And in the second game, we just switched table sides. But I did in that first game, the way he'd set up his cannons with pistols and stuff, he had left it open to be attacked. He left it open to be attacked by a greater demon. Because they're
the one I was saying that I couldn't find a role for.
That great demon lost to artillery.
It could do if it engages enough.
It did.
What did it engage?
Just two units of cannons. And I managed to like flapping.
How did you manage to engage both units?
Because you put the cannons together, that's four stands.
Yeah, but why did you not pick the stand on the end that wasn't...
We know, but then either flank was pistolets. So I didn't want to attack a unit
you
with cavalry.
You do if you did. No, because that's only three shots in it. Three shots for the... Yeah, you're going
to
get in seven
or
eight
shots.
I want
to get rid of the artillery.
Okay. So yeah. You take eight shots on the way in.
Yes.
And you're doing...
10 attacks.
10 attacks. So... And, oh, but they also get three attacks.
Yeah, yeah, they'll get...
They come up to 11.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's just, but he's got four of armor. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I know. And then, so, anyway, yeah, again, the Grey Demons failed me.
As predicted, okay, 300 points, achieving zero.
So then in the second game against... No, sorry, in the week later, I ended up playing Rodders, and he used a Beastman army. And I thought, well, maybe one Grey Demon ain't enough. Maybe I need two.
No.
So I took two Grey Demons.
That's really bad.
Like, against him.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah, and one of them failed to beat two units of Chaos Hounds, of Hounds.
Again, why are you fighting both units?
Well,
you
get to pick. Because I thought it was an easy... That was an easy, like, kill for a Grey Demon.
But that's... He has to do 18 wounds to kill two units.
Yeah, but, like, he would bang... He would, like, engage them and bang them up and everything else.
He's worth, like... four times what they're worth, both of them together. I think you might have massively overestimated how much they can do for 300
especially
points.
Because the Beastman list had a Shagoff in it, and the Shagoff is an 885 character, 885 monster.
It's a giant, yeah. Controllable
it's 885.
Giant. Controllable giant.
The Great Demon is 864. But the difference is 125 points between the two.
Yeah, one flies.
So one flies and one doesn't. You know, like, that's all those points I spent on. So I was like, ooh, Jesus. That was like...
Well, it's a good job you took two of them.
Yeah, I know.
Because once then you've added your character.
But I got a cool Lord of Change, you see.
What did you have? That's what I imagine. Literally fuck all else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But never mind. And it was cool to play Rodders as well, because Rodders ain't played Warmaster in ages, and he has a lovely Beastman army. Yeah.
So you were like his pity fuck, were you? let him win.
The thing is, the more games I get under my belt with demons,
I doubt it.
Sadly, it's showing that perhaps the good list is going to be the lot of infantry lists, sadly. Yeah, which is a bit of a shame, because, you know, I do like the different units and stuff, but I think that's going to be the good list, is a lot of infantry.
I think I took six, but that's all I could.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all we had.
Yeah, at the moment, that's...
But I don't think it's that narrow.
No?
I think there's a lot of reasonable stuff in the list. I think the problem is that for some reason you've gone down a cul-de-sac.
A cul-de-sac of
taking crazy 300-point models that can't possibly get their points back.
No.
It's like, I was trying to think, I talked to you before that event, I was sitting and thinking, what could they possibly do in a game?
What can they fight?
That I could guarantee you they'd get anywhere near their points back. I couldn't find anything.
No.
Not even artillery. No. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, but one thing that did stand out, like, in terms of... Well, lives and learns of this game system is that Jim. I realised a rule with Jim taught me a rule with characters I never realised.
Come on then.
So you commit a character to a fight, and that character is then in that fight until that unit is no longer fighting. You know, so it's a...
So you don't get to get out on your next turn.
So you commit in your turn, and he's there benefiting, and then the enemy, like, has a turn. I mean, obviously, he's still there. But when it comes to your turn again, you can't move that character out if they're still engaged.
Because of the new rules.
I that's the case. Yeah. Like, and I was like,
well, it's to do with the locking in combat.
Yeah.
So if you choose in your turn not to lock in, then he's not locked in.
Yeah.
Oh, but then he could get charged and locked in again.
He can't leave. So the character can't leave the fight unit if they started fighting. Until that fight is over, that unit is no longer in a fight. So if the enemy pursues on you, you're trapping that character in that fight still. So I did not know that. I mean, quite situational, but I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I would fail the judge test for this game system.
The judge?
Because I don't think I'd be a judge, but there we go.
I'm I'm still working because I got shedaddled with my goblin list. I'm still trying to build it now on the fly. So anything else you've been doing, young man?
Played a couple of games. So done the second round of the Blood Bowl League.
Of course you have.
And I, you know, managed to beat Darren 4-2. Wood Elves, you know, here.
Darren.
Which was quite good. Darren Whalen. Big D.
He never really likes winning, does he?
So that's cool. But my Rat Ogre and Blitzer are missing a game, so my team rating is even lower for the next round. But yeah, you know, it's cool because now my next two games of this league are against brand new people to the club. So yeah, like meet and greet. That's the point of doing the thing.
Well, I'm fine.
And tomorrow I'm playing in the team event of Blood Bowl at 40k. So it's cool. I've got a cool day lined up tomorrow where I'm playing in a team with Eric and Phil. And
OG Phil.
OG Phil.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
And Eric, who played two games once.
Back
in the beginning.
Turned his nose.
And do you know what broke his back?
What?
You know what he couldn't handle?
Oh, the Dragon Rider.
The Dragon Rider, because it was so shit for the amount of points he was spending on it. And he went, I don't want to play this game. I want to use Dragon Riders and they're shit.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. And that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. And I'll be taking a clock along tomorrow, so I'll play all my turns on a clock.
Just gives the opponent more time to play. I like that. You get your game done in like 60 minutes, mm-hmm. and you can have the 90 minutes or 2 hours or six hours or whatever it's allowed.
But it should be funny. Because it's quite a generous build of a tournament. I can actually take a Skaven-style player on roster.
Wow.
Which is quite cool.
Well, Fatso.
No, it's...
Chunk, what's he called?
Glart, that one is called. But I'm taking a Skaven with a ball and chain.
Like a goblin?
Yeah, but it's a Skaven holding a censer bearer and he's, like, same rules.
Same rules?
Yeah. Well, this league, because, yeah, to me, Blood Bowl was a soul of science. The league rules with all of these... New GW's new way of these league rules in play. We were using everything against Darren. The matchup was it was played in an ice stadium with special rules.
With special rules, yeah.
We had a triple halfling coach. So triple halfling referee. So the referee was three halfling brothers who mess up calls and stuff.
Of course,
if you foul a guy, there's a chance that they send off the guy you're fouling.
As you would.
Yeah, that's like...
You can't expect them to keep handles.
That's brilliant. And also had special play cards as well.
So you must love... The serious coaches must love
this. The point of bringing it up is this league is definitely... There's two camps. There's the serious coaches who want to play... Basically just want to play fucking chess. You know, like... And then there's me who can't get enough of this zaniness and just like throw it all in. You know, like... I love all the zaniness. And there's no one in the middle, really. You either, it's Murray Marmite. But I can't fault Darren and Andrew for making it, as in how they designed the league. It's like they've done everything correct. The only thing I would have had them do differently, but not that's too random for the serious stages.
You want more zany?
Oh yeah, it would have been to check this out for a rule. Right, okay, so skill progression.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's random.
Completely random.
Not completely random. So it's like you roll the dice like, oh, I've rolled a normal skill.
Yeah.
But then that skill choice is random.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Superb.
I'd love that.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
I would love it.
Troll has got...
Well, no, he can't choose a skill.
No,
like,
so he gets an... Oh, he could, that troll's not a good example.
Yeah.
My Black Orc blocker, whatever the fuck,
gets
some fucking stupid skill. It wouldn't mean it'd be a normal skill.
Yeah, but you choose, like, say...
You don't choose he gets double, he gets catch.
But you're choosing the skill category, aren't you? So if you're choosing an agility skill, you might get catch.
Oh, you get category. Yeah, that kind of tailors it. But you should be completely fucking random, yeah. Any double skill, then you end up with the catch on a Black Orc. Because in the olden days, playing like Fumble and stuff, when I was like a serious player, if somebody had a skill or something that inflated the team value,
that's what it does, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the wrong way,
yeah.
Take him outside and shoot him. You can't go, you get a journeyman in there. I can't have you.
Yeah.
Anybody get injured, you can get the fuck out of here because you're not good to me. Because you don't lose any team value from your
that's the problem. It's like the thing with that idea is that, of course, everybody would have to do it because the person that, if some do and some don't, then that's a massive advantage to the people who are choosing.
Oh, nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like, and so at the moment, my scaling team's learned two skills. Two gutter runners have got two skills, have got a skill each. And of course, they get blocked. Because I haven't rolled a movement. Yeah, like, and
because they've got to try and survive somehow.
Exactly, and then the tournament, the team tournament I'm playing tomorrow. My scaling team gets four skills. Mm. Well, so I've got four gutter runners with block. I mean, it's so boring. But
what else would you do?
Exactly,
four normal skills.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, it's like, what else has a bigger impact like than that?
You get that silly sure foot and try for a one turn thing, and it.
You have to have two increase. You have to have a movement increase as and sprint. You need to go two extra.
What's
squares.
What's the one that can make you go for it three times?
Sprint. But you need two extra squares. You can't do it in a. That would be awesome but the people who gnash their teeth at the randomness, they couldn't take that. It's funny hearing the debates go back and forth between the two camps.
Right. So in my world, I'll just rush to the two games I've played because there's been a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of magic stuff going on, but I can't be arsed talking about it now. But they really are. You know, like, I'll just get out of the way quick. This little magic bit. You know, the American corporate system is like every year you got to make more money than last year.
Right. Yeah.
And the way they enforce that is because everybody's on bonuses and stuff, like the high executives. And if they don't achieve the bonuses, basically they're going to be out of a job. Somebody else is going to come in, and they're going to make the money that they need to make. So every year they've got to make more money. So every year they've got to get more fucking devious and more degenerate and stuff. And now they're getting to the stage where it's just like, oh my God.
So what's going on?
Part of the value in Magic is how much the cards are worth.
Yeah.
So you open a booster and it's blind. You don't know what's in the booster.
Yep, yep.
And then some of the cards in the booster are worth more than others. Obviously, some are a lot more.
Yeah.
So what they've started doing now is just printing cards, unlimited cards. Of say there's a card worth $50.
Right.
They'll print a special shiny version of that card for $30.
Well, the card to buy
a special. Like, for example, the card I'm talking about is called Bitter Blossom, which is a relatively expensive card, and it's been quite difficult to get hold of.
Right, okay.
So what they're going to do now, on one day in December, it's like a Tuesday or something, there's a loot day. Anybody that orders this card on this day will get it shipped. We're going to print as many as we need to order. And so, like, that now devalues that card that was worth $50.
Yes.
Can't possibly be worth anything more than $30 because there's an hour premium version available to buy for $30.
So ceilings that.
So what they're doing is they're deciding to take out equity of the secondary market and put it into the bottom line.
Right.
And this is not like a one-off occurrence now. They're basically saying we're going to do these unlimited print runs of cards going forward. And it's like, it's good. But the problem is, next year they've got to then find something else to make even more money. It's like, oh my God. So imagine you're a store.
Yeah.
Like a big store. Yeah. And you hold 1,000 copies of Bitter Blossom.
Right, okay, yeah.
You've just lost 60-70% of the value of those cards in a millisecond.
Wow.
And they're never going to recover. So you could have lost, like, I don't know, you could have lost 40 grand in one card. Just like that, gone. And then they're going to print it's any card that's worth any money now. It's like, I can't hold on to cards that are worth money. You can't have cards in your loft or in your binder.
You think,
I'll save these because they're only going to go up.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not now because at any day they could just get reprinted out of existence.
Oh, okay.
Financially.
Right. So what does the community at large think of that?
They've got no idea how to deal with it. It's only just been announced this week.
Yeah. Oh, it's very new.
Yeah, and this is like one of a million announcements that they're throwing out, basically.
Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah. It's like, fuck. So it's like they're inflating the investment bubble so big that eventually it's going to burst.
Yeah.
But you just don't know how big the bubble can get before it bursts.
Well, yeah, keep milking the dollars until...
It bursts.
It bursts, yeah.
So... even I'm getting scared now. I played two games. I played DBA against Gary, my secret Chelmsford friend.
Oh, yeah.
Because I bought an arm.
The friend that you keep to yourself.
He plays Magic on Monday nights. You might have even met him on Monday
nights. Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
So, I bought an army. I don't know why, on eBay. I just saw an army and bought it. Painted.
What?
Mountain Indians. DBA army, 15 men.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, yeah.
So I decided we'd better play another game. And it was quite enjoyable, actually. Mm-hmm. DBA. Mm-hmm. DBA.
I guess this army wasn't expensive.
No, painted, 40 quid.
Yeah,
crack on. So,
yeah.
I think I'll teach you, because I've got two armies now. I've got Romans and Mountain Indians.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll teach you one day and you can see how you like it.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And then I played Eric at Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
With a completely... I used his completely bonkers Ent army.
Fantastic.
Against his list that he won the bunker tournament with.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, yeah.
An Easterlings list. Which was rock hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely fucking rock hard list.
Mm-hmm.
And basically how this list works, you have six models.
Yep.
And because of my strength and my fight value, if I roll a six, unless you've got something extraordinary, like a hero that's going to spend a point of might to raise his fight.
Yeah, yeah, because they're fight value seven.
Seven for the end, eight for Treebeard.
That's pretty damn
I mean, fun. Aragorn's only fight six.
Yeah, yeah, so they're stomping Aragorn's face. Yeah,
like, so unless you can get your fight off.
You're spending might to do that, yeah.
You're goosed, right?
Yeah.
And so basically, it's just a case of, can I roll a six? If I roll a six, well, everyone fine's going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Three attacks, strength eight.
Yeah.
You can do all that rending stuff because you're a big one. You can even turn one of the people into a baseball bat. So one of the things I did against Eric is you dismount the rider. You don't have to roll. It's just automatic.
Yeah,
so you're a cavalry model. I just take the man off the horse. Horse runs away.
Yeah.
And then I use the man as a baseball bat to smash everything else in combat with me.
Well, everything in your base?
So, yeah, basically. So I roll a three to wound the guy, because everything's a three, because I'm so strong.
Yeah.
And then I roll a three to wound the guy I'm hitting the guy with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then if I kill the guy I'm hitting, the guy on the floor,
I can hit
someone else.
And keep going until...
And keep going until there's nothing left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so how does that? So you just get one roll of one attack at it, like as in you don't.
If you miss you get an attack against the baseball bat, and then you attack against what the baseball bat's hitting.
Yeah.
Now, if you kill the attack on the guy that's not the baseball bat, you get another attack, and you get to roll again against the baseball bat.
Ah.
So what I did is it picked up one of his heroes as the baseball bat, then I get multiple attacks against him while I'm stoving everything else in. So, the first six or seven fights, I couldn't roll a six. And because you're literally like, he was literally like six, seven, eight to one.
Yeah,
he's rolling eight dice.
Yeah.
I've got one model.
He'll roll a six.
So I roll three dice.
Yeah.
So if I don't roll a six, he rolls six, he wins.
He will roll a six,
And he's got banners and stuff. So
yeah, exactly.
If you can't roll a six, you are going to lose. And they've only got three wounds.
Yeah.
And they're only, I think that even though they're toughness eight, you only need six and a four.
That means they're like a... Six and a four, isn't it?
Yeah.
Six,
and you can die to shooting and all this other stuff. So it's not that easy. But then I got onto a roll of rolling sixes.
Right,
and literally, his army just evaporated. He went from having maybe, he's a small army, so maybe he had 30 models to having six models.
Just smash.
And the only Ent he killed was because he channeled some fucking... deadly bolt spell from a wraith and killed it straight off. Three wounds, one shot.
Ooh.
Because it's like
multiple wounds if it's channeled.
Yeah, so it's D3 wounds, three, no arms, they're gone.
Boom!
Just, oh my god!
Whoa! Made you notice. Like,
but I think in order to do that, he used a point of might.
Yeah, he used all the resources.
And he used six will.
Yeah.
And he took down a whole Ent in one shot, first turn or second turn. And then I didn't lose a single Ent after that.
Wow.
And lost on scenario.
Yeah, because...
Because even though he had six models, and I had five.
Yeah. What was the scenario?
In the middle.
In the middle.
So he had all his stuff around the middle.
Oh, yeah, because then your models count as one. Yeah.
No, because the problem I had is I had to spread out to kill his stuff.
Yes, yeah, of course.
And then you're not particularly quick because you're just fodd.
Yeah.
You only move six or whatever. And then I couldn't get to the zone in time.
Yeah.
I killed him, and he broke before I had time to get to the middle.
Did you ever consider dismounting Merry and Pippin?
No. Would that have been an idea to send them to the zone?
More models and they could do heroic moves?
They're not exactly strong, are they?
No, but like, when they're sitting on Treebeard,
they don't
do much, do they?
They can throw stones.
Yeah, but,
strength two.
Yeah, like, they don't do much, do they?
But that would have helped.
They're clearly your objective pieces, aren't they?
Get down there. Get down there, boys.
And they each have a might each. So you can do a little heroic move with the tree, like, come follow me, trees.
I think, it was... But if you saw the, because that elite army just evaporate over the course of three turns. Cavalry, they shit on cavalry.
Yeah, it was mad.
It makes no difference.
Yeah, because
you don't get no cavalry bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not locking me down.
Yeah, exactly.
Just literally vaporizing cavalry.
Like cavalry's in Warmaster, cavalry is good against. Sorry, in Rings, cavalry is good against infantry. It loses all those bonuses against something bigger than it. It's like when you rode your Dothraki into the Night Army, like in the dead. I'm like,
I'll give him a jacket. Yeah. It only cost us half, though.
I think that list is fantastic because it's just so. I've never even seen a picture of someone with an end list. So it's so. It's
Eric's list. I mean,
it's wonderfully unique.
Oh yeah, but I think it would be relatively frustrating to play with. In like, it's good for friendly games, for popcorn games. But if you tried to play in a tournament, I think it would be backbreaking.
Maybe, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, like you'd be playing it into a.
What if you were playing against a horde?
Well, yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see.
How do you win on scenario?
I don't know.
They just feed you one model a turn.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Here's your one model.
Yeah.
And then you're tied up. You can't ignore the model, can you?
No, that's the core rules of the game. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just feed your goblin a turn,
and my other
700 goblins of Earth.
Go do what they need to do, Riggs is an interesting game.
So if you do get to play with it, you will have fun.
On the table here is the few extra positional Skaven players I need to do, and this is 700 points of the Dark Powers of Dol Guldur. It's just 8-9 models.
Because you know you're only rolling 3 dice, so it's only every other turn you're rolling a 6.
It's not always.
Then when they're rolling a million dice,
the tribute is pretty hard.
It's just the same.
But he's got stats. He's got might, will, and fate.
He does.
He's pretty hard, isn't he?
Yeah.
They throw stones at strength.
But he's got to stand still.
Oh, he can't move and throw.
I think. Maybe you can move half or something.
Yeah.
No, you have to stand still. I think.
Do you?
No. I think. Yeah. That would, because the stones are really good. Really, really. I think they're strength 10, range 18.
Yeah. Go far.
Far.
So once you get the ents to where they need to be for scenario, then they just start throwing stones, don't they?
Boof.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're going to do a quick what's happened in the world. But I think the most important thing to talk about is that Square Base is back.
GW, out of nowhere.
Literally out of nowhere.
Literally, I mean, a smidgen of a preview, dropped into Warhammer TV or something like that, a slip of the tongue. But, so GW put out a thing saying that they're going to bring back Warhammer The Old World. So they're going to bring back the Warhammer universe as a playable game system. And it's going to have square bases. Aside from that, there's no other facts. It will be, it's 3 years away.
Because it's going through Forge World, I think. Like 30k years.
Yeah, and they said they likened it, this is going to be like 30k, Horus Heresy to 40k. So that means it's...
Yeah, they're very similar games.
Well, yeah, they are. Horus Heresy is stuck in the previous edition of 40k.
Yeah, but we don't have a 40k. We have Age of Sigmar, and it can't go anywhere near that.
No, of course not. But also, Horus Heresy has got, as a game system, has got big problems because it's been out such a long time, and there still aren't seminal characters in, like, there still aren't Primarchs and Legions with unique rules.
Right.
Like, it's got problems, basically, Horus Heresy. It's like, but that some of that is sadly behind because the chief designer and writer and the man behind it died.
That's going to slow things down.
Of course it did. Yeah, I mean, like it was like, and he was a real. He was obviously the chief creative of that game system. Yeah, like, and that's what happened. It was Alan Bly, that was his name, and it was like it was super liked by everybody, and it was it happened a while ago, but it noticeably affected the game because it like it's just and its releases now are few and far between. So, but now, well, so what? Well, obviously, this is great news in general because it brings back. I mean, it shows. I think
but is it?
No, I think it shows the effect of the Total War and Vermintide. Success computer games because they're set in a world that GW doesn't have a system for, and they obviously there's a lot of people.
Isn't there Mordheim? Is that not set in this world as well? Still,
or well, they don't do that. Yeah, they don't, Mordheim is.
It's coming back, isn't it? Mordheim?
Is nah,
it?
I don't think so.
I thought I'd heard of it.
No, it's Warcry.
Oh right.
Yeah,
that's in the Age of Sigma world.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah
right.
People thought it might be Mordheim, and it was Warcry, and it became Warcry, which is set in Age of Sigma. Now, obviously, now I think that they'll. I think it'll be a new game. I think it won't be like the same. Like
but this is the problem.
God,
nobody wants an old world version of Age of Sigmar.
No, it won't be that. I don't think
nobody wants like some kind of silly square-based skirmish game or something. They want a rank and flank game.
Yeah,
and so if it's not that, there's no point doing it.
But I think GW realizes this. And I think that that's what they're going to do.
Well, that's what they have to do.
And I think that giving 3 years of notice, as in how before they put out like the starter, like the whatever first miniature releases, I think that.
Well, did 30K have a box set?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it's had two.
Okay.
It had Siege of Kalf and like Kalf and ones that had loads of models in them.
It's all Marines against Marines, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's different
same sprue. It's had big. Box set releases.
Well,
The first time they had Custodes in it.
With a rule book in there as well.
Everyone was super crazy over Custodes because they were something out of the fluff coming into.
So that's how you'll get in. That's how they'll get people in. You buy a box, I'll buy a box, we'll swap half
I think that the fantasy, as in as a rule set, I think that. They'll have to look at the core mechanics of fantasy, because fantasy had big problems. It's always had big problems, but now they could.
But that was their whole model. What they do is like a game has problems. You increase the problems by releasing codexes or army books, and every 4 years you reboot for a new set of problems.
Yeah,
that was all they ever did. I mean, every game system they've had 4 years, 4 years, 4 years, 4 years, 4 years, and that's I guess that's it'll be something similar.
I suppose so.
Because people talk about the perfect fantasy game, edition. There wasn't one. I hated 8th.
Yeah.
7th wasn't any better.
No.
6th was all. Magic's always been either too powerful or non existent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 8th, some of the magic in 8th was just.
I think what I'm saying is if they put out a rule set and it was literally 8th edition fantasy again. That isn't a good. I'd be like, that's a shame because.
But lots of people enjoyed it. They really did enjoy it. Like your Alex McGee's of the world and all those kind of people would flock to it.
Yeah, of course.
Of course they weren't. I'm fair play to them. But they need to just find a way of keeping the heroes under control and the magic under control.
I just really hope that they do every. I hope it's a complete new miniature range. And they're not old models, they just bring back into circulation. I hope that it is. But hang on a sec. But this company, I read a financial article about them. They're doing so well.
I'm not arguing. Talking about GW. You're talking about Forge World. They don't have the resources.
But they.
That's why you're talking about your 30Ks. Only had like a smidgen of models released.
Yeah, I suppose.
Whenever they release them, it's like you get the Skaven Blood Bowl box set. Like, whatever, it's 12 models for, 15 quid, 17 quid, whatever. Yeah. And then you go to the Forge World ones, you're paying, like, fucking 30 quid for two models.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it'll be more that end of the market. Yeah. So you'll get new stuff, but it'll be expensive. Mm. Maybe special character-y type stuff.
We'll see. I mean, it's at the very least, whatever is that game system becomes, it's nice that they're doing... It's good that they're doing one back in that setting again. And
your Schadenfreude of the guy that burned all his stuff is real now.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be only GW could had this game system for ages, makes a lot of people very happy.
30 years or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like,
maybe.
Then they kill it.
As you would.
And they replace it with something that's quite different, quite different, and then they turn around, and then 5 years later, they get an announcement that they're going to bring that game, old game system back in a number of time.
And piss off all the new
people. Yeah, and literally. And then it's like, and in 5 years' time, Age of Sigmar will be that forgotten mistake, you know, like Experiment GW then, like, dropped.
Because you can't go porting those dwarves in and stuff.
But
that's what I'm saying. There's been
criticism made of Age of Sigmar players and fans that they're already having slowing down. They don't get as much stuff as 40K. Like they
wonder why that is.
Their miniatures releases is slowing down.
Well, that's because every Space Marine sells 200 times more than everything else.
Well, I mean, the Adeptus Caesarius, the Sisters of Battle release. Yeah. Like, check this out for some facts. Now, I heard that people have wanted plastic Sisters of Battle for ages. The last time they did a Sisters of Battle like codex and full miniature, a full army, 97.
Nice.
Yeah, like, so, 22 years ago. That's right.
Yeah.
Like, so then people have wanted it for the longest time. And there's been individual models here and there, but not like this is an army, this is not a codex, as in a new, with anything significantly new in it. So then they previewed a project, they were like, we're going to do this. A couple of years ago, they said, like, Plastic Scissors Battles are coming in 2019.
Get yourself ready.
And they put out this box army box set with a nice special edition codex in it. £120.
Beautiful.
RRP. Apparently, it was 20,000 copies they made of this box set. And no matter where it was in the world, it sold out in 10 minutes. Like, as it went on sale in different places, it was sold out in 10 minutes. So GW made, like, 2 million over in... like put in financial money, like as in from selling something, and you're like in about 10 minutes. You know, I mean, yes, they've done the prep, but they've like,
yeah, but this can't be limited edition.
No, because the army comes out in a couple of months' time.
Yeah, but I mean, this box, they have to reprint this box. You know,
well, yeah, the individual stuff in it would
no,
be...
no, you have to reprint this box, otherwise, people are going to get raped. Well, on eBay.
I mean, like, it went on, it's just it got it, well, that's the thing, it's just like. Is straight away, because it sold out so fast, straight away things were going up on sale on eBay.
I said £480. £480. You paid 120 for it, fella. You haven't even got it in your hand yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're trying to resell it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I saw today, before it came out on Facebook, that, what's the name of that? 40K games?
40K.
Yeah. 40K, yeah. Culture. Yeah, so they're getting some of these in stock, or they've got some in stock, and they're selling them for £120, one per customer.
Yeah, because the RRP, yeah.
So you could go to Colchester and buy one.
Yeah.
If you wanted one.
Yeah.
Because he's a nice guy. Because he could just say, I ain't got fucking any, and put them all on eBay, couldn't he?
Well, I mean, why do they get their stock delayed? Did they get their stock?
I don't think the stock was out, was it? I think it was like,
is it right?
You know what I mean? Just because it's on sale on the web store, like generally pre-orders.
Yeah.
So is it Friday today? Maybe it came out today properly.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
So they were selling on eBay before they even had them in their hand,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I just hope with something like this that people are wanting. I know I'm not asked about it personally, but that they don't make it stupid and like this is it, one run, it's all
no,
done.
No, God no. But
just keep printing.
But how would you deal with this issue of scalping?
You can't by printing.
But how do you do it?
It's like the Lord of the Rings box set last Christmas was sold out everywhere. You can get one.
Yeah.
So, but they just print them again. Yeah. You don't have to print like a million. Mm-hmm. Just print 10,000 if you sell 10,000. Print another 5,000 if you sell another 5,000.
Right.
Print another 5,000.
So you use your print stock dictated by your stock of what you sold already.
Yeah, so I wouldn't print like 40,000 to start with. I'd print like 10 or 20, and then if they all sell out, print 5,000 more.
All right,
because you'll easily sell 5,000.
Yeah,
and then if they sell out, print another 5,000.
I mean, like, but if this figure was correct and it was 20,000. Boxes they shifted in 10
minutes. Yeah.
Then, if that's taken as correct, is what I heard. Then I mean, that's the underestimating the demand by a lot, isn't it? Like, they could have easily...
But they've got no idea what the demand
exactly,
is.
But they could have easily sold 40,000. Like, would have gone in 15
But it's
minutes.
A success for them, as long as they don't piss too many people off by not putting it back up at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But right. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. So anyway, I'm not really bothered about this. I'm bothered about fantasy. Because I've still got an orc army. Massive orc army.
Well, it'll come round.
Massive. And, I must have 120 metal savage orcs waiting somewhere. Because before they did the plastic box set, there was only metals.
Yeah.
I had 120 of them. Back about 15 years ago or something.
That's...
The Savage Orc Army.
Yeah.
Back when they had, they just had a bit of tattoo and paint on or something.
Like magic paint.
They got a 6-up ward save.
Because they had magic paint, because they believe.
Because we
believe in this shit.
Like, witness me.
Witness.
I need you to come pick me up, alright? I got bit by a fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Right, Goblin Army review time. Fluff, boy. Fluff. What's it say?
Goblins.
Goblins.
Goblins are small, vicious, mean-spirited, and generally unpleasant creatures. That's
lovely.
What it says.
Lovely.
Yeah, like, we recording? Yeah, cool. Yeah. Clues to their character may be discerned by their tiny pointy teeth, beardy glinting eyes, scrawny grasping hands, and general demeanour of a whipped dog.
Oh, dear.
To give them their due, goblins are prolific. There are lots of them, and no matter how many die or run away, there are always plenty left. Their preferred method of fighting is to shoot the enemy in the back from a good distance.
They sound like your army.
Yeah, they are halfway decent shots, but in other respects are poor and often unwilling fighters. However, they are dangerous in large numbers and quite capable of overwhelming far better troops by sheer weight of numbers.
Yeah.
Like all greenskins, goblins are quarrelsome and fractious. They fight amongst themselves both on and off the battlefield, and they feel little sense of loyalty to their own kind, let alone anyone else, and will cheerfully kill or even eat their comrades if they get away with it. Goblins are generally recognised by belonging to two main breeds.
Night and forest.
Common goblins.
Common?
And night goblins.
What about the forest goblins?
These types are not physically different to each other, although all kinds of goblin are liable to extreme variations in size, so it's quite unusual for a mob of goblins to include some individuals as much as twice the size of the others.
Wow.
In this respect, where a big snotling becomes a goblin and vice versa is debatable, although from an orc's point of view, it hardly matters as they're all there to be bossed about. The majority of goblins living in open lands, most notably in the Badlands and the Darklands, as common goblins are just ordinary gobos. They are as common as muck throughout the hills, valleys and plains of the old world and beyond. We quite cheerfully refer to all different kinds of goblins as goblins, but this might prove confusing. We call ordinary goblins common goblins, just that, common goblins.
Common.
And aren't they just... Common goblins ride giant wolves, much as humans ride horses. Not only are they large and dangerous creatures ridden by individual goblins, but chariots and carts may be pulled by several giant wolves harnessed together. Giant wolves are vicious creatures with slavering fangs and sharp claws, quite often more dangerous than the goblin riders. They're faster than the horses, too. Goblin wolf riders commonly raid and pillage ahead of advancing goblin hordes, scouring the countryside for signs of enemy troop movements. On the battlefield, they harry the flanks of the enemy units and chase them down when they fed braver greenskins. Night goblins are adapted to a life underground, where they consist of fungi, cave squigs, beetles and other bits of such. They live under the mountains throughout the Old World and Southlands, in tunnels and caverns, and are cool and dark. Night goblins have a strong aversion to daylight, and when they're forced to wear black and very dark enveloping robes to protect themselves from the sun's rays.
Very nice, very nice.
And, yeah, so like...
So no mention of the forest goblins.
Well, they're a type of tiny little... If they're not a night goblin, it's a common goblin.
It's a common goblin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, so goblins are quite an interesting list because they're not really... Would you say these are a sub-list of orcs and goblins? Or are they completely different?
No, I think...
You were talking about your theme and faction or whatever.
I think they're a sub-list, really.
Should there be an orc sub-list to go with this, then?
No, I think really, the orc and goblin list would have these also options in it as well.
Oh,
it'd
be too big,
though. It'd be massive, yeah.
Yeah, too flabby.
Be massive, yeah. this would be the flavour list of an orc and goblin list. Goblin list.
I mean... We're going to go through the list.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it did get some little extra bits of juice from Revolution.
It did.
Which is good.
Yes.
Because it needed it.
Yes. I mean, like, before we start, this army is proper shit. Yeah, it does...
Jeff loves them.
I know.
And he does win games.
And he does win games to them. And I don't know how he does it.
Well, I know how he does it. I'll talk about how he does it.
But it is terrible. You're like, is it? Cause...
We'll talk through why as we go through the list, but let's go through the list. Let's go through this. Then you can see how terrible some of the things in here are.
Okay.
Right, so what's first up?
Your goblins. Goblin. Like, so this is you. So your infantry unit, 30 points of a 2-1-3-0. They, you know, shoot bows, but they're shoot, but they're only range 15.
And it's only in one direction.
Only one direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to have four, minimum four. So that means you've got to take eight units.
Eight goblins.
You can't have less.
Oh, Jesus
in 2,000 points. That's quite a lot of goblins.
That's a lot of protecting needed. A lot of babysitting needed. Because these guys can't beat anything.
No, they can't beat anything.
Even skeletons are giving a shoo-in.
No, yeah. I mean, they just have nothing going for them, basically. Goblins.
Goblins.
Yeah.
But they're your core troops, so there's nothing we can do about it. We're going to take eight. I think that is probably... That's fact. I'm guaranteeing that Paul in his list has taken eight. I haven't seen his list, but I'm guaranteeing he'll take eight. I've taken eight.
I mean, it's hard to need to have the reason to have more, is there?
I mean, because your
goblin army is almost always going to have a high break point, you know, and
I've got eight of these bastards.
Well, yeah, but where do you find more use for terrible troops? I don't know. I mean, they're so poor that you can't even rely on them to win a defended position. You know, like, they're that poor.
Well, they're pretty poor. They're pretty poor. As troop goes, they're bottom. Yeah. Squig herd.
So, this is a unique thing to the list. So, it's a infantry with a 3-3-0, and that's it, for 30 points. So, you for the same points as goblins, you drop the shooting attack, and you gain a close combat attack. And that's it.
That's it. No squig special herd. Rules.
No.
Oh, Jesus wept. So these are basically halberdiers and armour, but they're cheap.
Yeah, they are super cheap. And they're a flavour unit because then you can put some squigs, like, you know, like people like night goblins, and you can, you know, Polar Fox Miniatures does lovely models of squig herds. There's some up there on the shelves there. Yeah, in fact, I'll scab some down for Barry to have a look.
So, they're a unique troop type. I don't think anything else in the game is 3-3-0. Unless it's peasants or something. No, they're two, aren't they? I don't think there's anything like that.
It's not a bad profile for 30 points. Yeah.
But it's, again, it's shit.
Yeah. For 30 points.
Yeah, but I mean, how much shit troop do you want?
Not right.
You've only got eight shit troop.
Yeah.
So next one,
trolls.
The best thing in the list for me. I love these.
Ported straight across from the orc list. 5-3-5, 110 points. With their rules of their trolls being where they got -1 to command.
Oh dear.
But they have a regenerate.
Oh dear. So the -1 command, as we'll talk.
It's pretty bad in an army with not great command.
Like, not great. That's an understatement. They look organised. These fucking idiots.
And these guys make ancient armies look organised.
Look, the Rus. The Rus are fucking organised.
Your Wolf Riders.
So these fellas.
Or trolls, yeah.
Unless you're ordering with your general, right? So let's assume. Because I'm going to take a few of these because he's good. So unless you're ordering with your general.
Yeah.
You're ordering on a 6.
Yeah.
That's the best you're getting.
Yeah. They won't move.
It's like a fucking 6.
So they. Yeah, as. Everything we said about trolls in orcs stands for trolls in goblin lists. They are great winners of the revolution half-face move.
Yeah, because
before, they wouldn't go anywhere.
Imagine in what mad world we're in.
Yeah.
I want to charge something with these. So I ordered the first order on a 6.
Yeah.
Second one's on a 4.
Yeah.
What chance is that?
Not good.
6-4? You've got to be fucking nuts, mate.
It's not happening. It's not happening fast.
It's happening.
And they, their regenerate rules are cool, but they are hampered by 3 hits each. So not often you losing stands out. When it's not as good as 4 hits.
So, for example, if you lose 3 wounds, you lose a stand.
Yeah.
So regeneration does nothing.
Yeah.
But sometimes it works.
Sometimes, I mean, it's better than... It's not as good as having 4 hits, but it's better than having... just 3 and no rule.
Next up.
Wolf Riders, pulled from the Orc Gorm list.
Now we've got some
2-1-3-6, 60 points. So being cavalry with a 6 up armour,
and 360.
And 360.
And short and range.
15, they are the best light cavalry. They have both parts of the light cavalry rule.
They do.
So they can run from other cavalry, other stuff.
In the straight line. Oh, hang on.
They can't be pursued, and they can evade in any direction.
In a straight line?
Yes.
In a straight line. And to the full distance as well. Evade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're evading, you have to go the full distance, don't you? Is that not,
no, it's
not
up, your it's turn? Up to the full
it's
distance.
It's not up to. If it's the one that you in initiative you're talking about,
yeah.
It's full distance.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's what they can do.
Okay, cool. And we have to have four of them. They're 2 per 1,000.
Yes, they're 2 per 1,000, so you end up taking 4.
So we're going to try these out, aren't we? Because, I mean, these did get some bonus.
Yes.
These and trolls both got a boost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not going to help.
No.
But it's good that they got a boost.
Yeah,
what's next?
Like, so Wolf Chariots. Ooh. From the Orc and Goblin list. A 3/3/6 chariot unit for 80 points with no special rules. So yeah.
See, that's expensive.
3/3/6, 80 points.
Why is a 3/3/5 90 points? That seems cheap then.
What a chariot?
Well, you're only paying 10 points for a pip of armour. That seems cheap. Mm. One of them should be. It should be at least 15 points, shouldn't it, realistically?
What, the chariot upgrade?
The armour upgrade.
The armour upgrade.
If you go from 6 up to 5 up armour,
mm-hmm.
Infantry, it's 15 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
From 45 to 60.
Yeah.
And to go from 6 up to 5 up, so from zero, no armour to 6 up, because we've got them here, no armour, 30 points, it's 15 points. And that's an infantry. So I think that 10 points is a bit... mean. I think they should be maybe 75 points.
Oh, okay. Right.
Because it's quite... I mean, they've got fuck all armour, haven't they? I mean,
Yeah.
The problem with chariots is you chuck them in and they just evaporate.
Yeah. I mean, these wolf chariots will damage what they charge, definitely, but they won't be combat effective again. Like, they will lose stands easily and they won't be as hitting hard next time. So, I...
Because I'm a big fan of trying to do everything I can to make goblins more competitive.
Okay.
I think giving them, like... 5-point discount on the chariots is probably a sensible thing to do.
Oh, fair enough then.
In a dream
so
land.
this is another. This is a unique thing here.
Ooh,
the
this
pump
is
wagon. Now I love this. This is the unit's really cool.
Yeah.
So the pump wagon is a chariot. So it means when it charges, you get an extra attack. Remember?
Yeah.
It's got D6 attacks rather than a number.
Yeah.
3 hits of 5 up armor. It's 1 stand and it's 50 points. And then it has this pump wagon rule. Doesn't move in the command base by initiative or by successful orders. Good, because you're not actually passing many orders, are you?
That is a fair point.
So instead, this is where it can always move 10 times D6. All right?
You pick a direction. Or...
Yeah, you move as automatic, no command roll, and happens at any time during the command phase. It's made in a direction, you say the direction, and you roll the dice, and they go either 10 or 60 in that straight line. Pump wagon does not have to move. It doesn't have to move if you don't want it to wish.
Right.
And if it charges or pursues, so advance, it will receive... So, until it charges or for pursues, a pump wagon receives D6 attacks, which is on its stat line. This is in addition to the additional attacks for charging the enemy and for being a chariot. So, D6 plus 2 if it's in the open. When charged or retreating, as a result of combat, its attacks are halved to D3.
Yeah.
So, you might get 1. Yeah, like... The pump wagon is crewed by snotlings who feed on magic mushrooms, making them mad and crazy with no care for their own lives. Moves forward and backwards as well as to the side at a relentless rate and cannot be driven back by shooting, nor can be confused in any way, because how would you confuse it?
No idea.
The pump wagon forms its own unit and cannot be brigaded with other units, not even other pump wagons. And that is important. The enemy does not gain victory points for destroyed pump wagon, and it does not count towards the break. So you can take 2 of these. So you could take 4 of these things for 200 points that mean nothing to you. Like, are just there.
Are you sure? We only had 2, yeah?
Yeah,
per
maximum
thousand.
Is 2. Yeah.
Are you sure?
2 per 1,000.
I'd be tempted to take 4. I know
The fact that they give away nothing...
They give away victory points still, in the same way as...
To not gain victory points.
No victory points. Not even... Oh, no,
nope.
So the opponent can only get 1,800 points off you if you take 4 of these.
Yeah.
You've only got 1,800 points on your list.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's you've got to have some of them, because why are you playing a goblin army if you're not taking some pump wagons? And again, Polar Fox does bespoke miniatures for them, and they look very nice. So, I mean, heads up, to buy this army, go to Polar Fox, because he's done the range. You know, So, But I don't. Yeah, it's they can achieve something, and if they get lucky, they might even damage the enemy and take a stand or two. Like if they get attacked, then they're going down immediately. But
they don't give anything up.
So why not? They can be good as roadblocks. So then you get a giant, which is the standard giant, the 150 pointer with all the rules that a giant is. So now we start rattling into.
Well, one thing I would say. It's because giants can be quite difficult to manage.
Yes.
And especially if we've got shit leadership. Because eventually you do want to fail the leadership. But in order to get them into position, you do have to pass some orders occasionally.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This army does not move far. Does not move well. So your Doom Diver is your first unit of artillery. So that is a one with three shooting attacks. Two hits a stand, no armour, has two stands for 80 points. You can take one unit per thousand, so you could take two. And it has the rules of Doom Divers is they've got a range of 60, the enemy takes armour saves as normal, and they can't shoot at charging enemy. But they're range 60.
So I think they had a rule where they confused on a four.
Yes,
so
we got rid of that.
Because it was made them a bit OP.
Yes, yeah. Because strangely, the Goblin Army can have a decent artillery brigade because it has access to more artillery than anybody else.
You're rolling six dice, so it's like having two stone throwers.
Yes, but yeah.
And although you get armour saves, not a lot of stuff has armour, really.
Yeah, really, like significant armour.
Not much has like four up armour.
Yeah.
So most stuff has like five up or even six up or even no armour.
I mean, as a concept, it's a brilliant concept because Doom Diver Catapult is a torsion to power device, much like a spear chucker, but instead of firing spears, it's designed to fire goblins.
I love this one. When you play this in fantasy, you actually had a goblin on a base that you floated around.
These goblins are equipped with crude folding wings.
He could guide himself.
Which enabled them to stay aloft for a short time before plunging back down to earth. When they do land, it's usually a loud splat and causes confusion more than anything else in the race.
How do you get volunteers for this job?
I don't know. But but there's no shortage. Yeah, and you never get a bad guy at his job doing this.
They all seem to be on it.
Yeah. So when they did the Godbling team in Blood Bowl, they had new positionals, and one of them is a Doom Diver.
In Blood Bowl.
So when he's thrown by the troll, he can glide a bit. I love it. As a concept, it's hilarious. It's suicide goblins.
Perfect.
Yes. And the old fantasy models used to have a big spike on their helmet. It's
I'll tell you what, they used to make me laugh when they hit cavalry because you've got no arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Killed a knight with that.
Next.
Spear chucker.
They got an upgrade.
Yes, so artillery with one attack and one per stand. Two hits, so they follow. So their rules are spear chucker, the bolt thrower, discarded rule book, 75. So that means they have two shooting attacks at the first stand.
And then they go through it once. I think it used to be one going through two. Now it's two going through one. You can go through an extra one. Yeah.
And they are two per thousand. So you can have two. You can have four units of spear chuckers.
So that's a lot of potential standy shooting, no armour saving.
Yes.
Because unlike rock lobber, cannons with, what's it called, grape shot?
Yeah.
These, you don't get armour saving when you're standing shooting.
No, they don't.
Because the fucking things are huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a massive spear. Now, so that means the Goblin Army can field four stands of range 60 artillery and eight stands of range 40 artillery.
That's a lot of artillery.
It is.
I think it's a defensive army.
It's actually more artillery than you fit in one brigade. Because
it's two brigades, isn't it?
Yeah, you need two brigades of artillery. So then your character setup.
Oh dear God.
So
the general is like an orc general, isn't it? Let's be fair.
He's a command H general.
80 points. Cheapest chip.
Yes. But where the orc army has command 8 heroes, the goblin army has command 7 heroes of 45 points.
Now, these are not skinks. There's no slan here passing out divine guidance and stuff.
No. There's no inbuilt mechanic to increase it. Then you have Goblin Wizards at command 6. So that's, I think, the worst command of any army.
Oh, fucking light years worse.
You get a 1 command 8 character, and then...
Who's your general? Who's your general? With him, it turns over. Yeah.
Then potentially 8 command 7 characters, because you can take 4 heroes.
I mean, they're 45 points, but they don't do fucking anything, man.
And then you can have another. Then you can have four wizards. So you could have
man six.
So you could have a command setup of
13
characters.
Yeah, but fuck that. Nobody's having that. That's crazy talk, sir.
There's two upgrades to the characters: a wolf chariot for 10 points, which plus one attack and makes him on a chariot, which means sometimes you can't go in woods, that kind of thing. You know, and a wyvern, a monstrous mount that causes terror for 2 attacks and flies. So, what kind of magic spell to use?
Get off.
I had to say that because of Labyrinth. So the goblin spells of Mork Save Us. Pile up to cast range 30. Mork Save Us! The spell we cast on a friendly within 30 centimetres of the Shaman, and they gave a 5+ save, works out the usual way. If they were at a saving throw, they can choose which one to make. Not that you get both, or you increase your both. Like, you get a 5+ save.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but if you already had a 5+ save, it does you nothing.
And a goblin.
Get off, range 60, five up
for that one as well.
And this
five
is the up. Same spell where you drive a unit back 5d6 towards its own table edge.
Brain Buster,
5+ to cast, range 30. Got to be able to see the target, and it has 3 shooting attacks, which does now allow an armor save.
Yeah,
so, I guess supplementing your artillery where you get an extra hit.
Yeah, nice stuff.
And then, 4+ to cast, range 30. And a friendly unit of goblins engaged in combat within range.
Goblins,
Every stand, including the character's stands, plus one. But it's got to be goblins. You can't cast it on trolls.
I guess on wolf riders, I guess.
Yeah.
The squigs aren't goblins, are they? Fucking hell. I mean, you could argue that the wolf riders aren't fucking goblins,
aren't
they?
Well, yeah, actually.
The wolves are the things
that
fucking
fight. Where is its keyword? It does say goblins. I suppose... Actually, the only thing that is a goblin
is a fucking
is goblin.
I ain't fucking fine with
using that keyword.
If you're warring a fucking unit,
so this is where this game, if it was being done nowadays, would be much clearer of its keywords.
Yeah. Because some of those things might be goblins.
Yeah, I think
a goblin chariot, maybe a goblin.
Yeah.
Wolf rider,
keyword,
maybe a
goblin chariot, goblin and chariot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like anyway, Geroff's all right. Geroff's a pretty good spell.
Geroff's a good spell.
Yeah. Apart from that.
Especially when you combine it with the amount of artillery you've
exactly.
got.
Exactly. So that gives us our goblin army. How weirdy beastie it is too. Right, again.
So, it's different to any other army.
Yes.
It is an absolutely, completely and utterly super defensive army.
I mean, it would like to attack, I think, but it just can't order. It just doesn't.
How are you going to get any work? If you've got a leadership not 10 high up general running around with silver helms, what are you going to do?
I mean, this army in a meeting engagement scenario would be hilarious because they'd be so fucked by it. You know, like, it'd be like, oh, we haven't got the luxury of setting up where we know the enemy's going to be.
And setting up
and maybe occupying a nice hill. You know,
so
like,
after we talk about the list, I'll talk about. I played Jeff.
Right.
The tie was before.
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been a couple of years ago because I didn't go last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. I didn't play him this year. And he had a goblin artillery list.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you about it. So, and right. What happened? So you tell them your list, sir.
So I've gone for 8 units of goblins.
Because you have to.
2 squig herds and 2 trolls.
Two trolls? Okay.
4 units of wolf riders.
Yeah,
2 units of wolf chariots. The 4 pump wagons,
yeah.
A giant,
yeah.
The full artillery, so that's 2 doom divers and 4 spear chuckers.
Yeah.
And then I've gone for a goblin war boss, 2 goblin heroes, 2 goblin shaman, and I'll put somebody on a wyvern.
2 shaman? That's a bit fucking measly, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, I should have gone for more. I didn't realise you can get more wizards. But yeah, that's what I've gone for.
I mean, the guy that won the Tribus this year only had 2 shaman in an orc list.
Yeah, yeah.
Because... Mm-hmm. He kind of wrote off Geroff and said, I'm not going to worry Geroff. He did his line of flame on Geroff.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way that Zav does.
So that gives me a break point of 13.
Yeah.
How would I play it? I mean, for build...
How would you play it? Play defensively? No, how are you going to play it?
I'd put the squig herds behind the trolls. And that would be...
Can they support...
Yes, they can. Yeah,
they don't
no, they've got
try and eat the trolls' legs.
Yeah, well, I suppose they would in reality, but they don't. But like, so that would be my best infantry. Then I would throw out the pump wagons in front of it. I would try to attack, but it's really
difficult. You can't attack. I don't think. Anyway, so my list.
Go on.
So we've got 8 goblins because you've got to have 8 goblins. 4 trolls.
All right, fair enough. Yeah,
get some meat.
Yeah.
Get some meat in here, and I think that's what Jeff takes.
Yeah.
4 wolf riders, because you've got to take them. 4 pump wagons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Get them out in front. A giant.
Yeah.
I'd rather have two giants, but you just can't fit it in this list.
Right.
Two Doodivers, yep. Four Spearchuckers, because yep. You've got a Warboss, two Heroes, four Gobblins, mm-hmm. Shamans.
Yeah.
So I've got the same seven characters as you.
Yeah, yeah.
And a scroll of... Oh, no, you only had five characters.
I had five characters, yeah.
So I've got seven characters, yeah. Nice. And a scroll of Dispelling, because I'm going to take a magic item that is going to be it.
Fair enough. Because
somebody might sucker punch my artillery yeah, using yeah, some sneaky get behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
Breakpoint is 12. It's got 23 units.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a completely defensive army, so two artillery brigades, trolls in front of them, pump wagons just running no man's land. Because they can go out without orders.
Yeah, you don't need to order them.
A giant in front of the lines, in front of the trolls, on defence. Can't order it. You just have to fucking wait for stuff to come to him. Wolf Rider's going wide.
Yeah.
Like, as a flanking force, exactly. I guess, with... Fucking hell, you're sending a hero. Can't send the general.
Yeah, their job with this in this build... I mean, we've chosen different armies, but their build is roughly the same. Is to get in the way of the enemy and slow them down for the artillery, fire more rounds of artillery, try and get behind the enemy.
Because normally I'd send out those four Wolf Riders with a hero or two.
Yeah, yeah.
But the heroes are so shit.
Yeah. That's all you got.
That's all I've got.
That's all you got.
So maybe I'll send a hero or two out and just send them one. You can't send the general because you'll lose the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
It's such a weird build, and it is ultra defensive. Like, when I did, I'll talk about this.
I'd say, in many ways, this army is more defensive than a dwarf army.
Oh, it's the most defensive army.
Yeah,
by miles.
So, and not because it wants to be. It's like,
because it has to be. So I played Jeff, and I was playing Lizardman, and he had a completely defensive goblin army.
Yeah,
and we were playing it on a table with a river running through the middle of it and a bridge.
Oh man,
and a hill.
It's a classic Battle of the Five Armies.
Right, yeah, so he sets up on this hill.
Yeah.
Fucking entire brigades, all the trolls in front, everything.
Yep.
And then I can't cross the water without having to stop at the edge and getting vaporised by the artillery.
Yep.
So he sends out his wagons,
his
pump wagons, and I kill those. Yep. But they're not worth anything.
Yep.
Might send out a giant, but I don't manage to get to it. So the game breaks down in that the no man's land is like 60 centimetres. I'm playing Lisbon. I can't move that far.
No.
I physically can't do it because of the two orders and the 20-centimeter command.
Yeah, yeah.
So the game just degenerates into I can't come and try and take him because I can't make it.
Yeah.
And there's zero incentive for him to try and come out.
Of course, because
he's at range 60 waiting for me to come in. So I just stand one side of the bridge in the river and he stands on his hill and then we just call it a draw and shake hands. it's like we're never going to... There's no way... the game just... Because it's not like I can get to his artillery, because the artillery's behind waves of fucking trolls and giants and artillery. So I'd run over, get 50 centimetres, and just get fucking eaten alive. Because cold ones are the only thing I can get there with.
Mm.
But cold ones don't last against all this artillery.
No.
Not those eight spear chuckers with no armour saves, shooting two shots each. So one unit is four shots.
Yeah.
Four units is 16 shots with no armor save. Oh my god.
Yeah. You lose a unit easily.
And then the other one gets swallowed up by all the other infantry and stuff. And fucking, it was grim. So anyway, that you've got to be careful of that if you're playing a scenario.
Yep.
Or you don't want your game to end in draws.
Yeah. Because
I think he did have a draw this time as well, because it is easy to do.
Yeah.
Because there's no incentive for people to try and come over your side of the table and take this on.
No.
Unless they've got tools to do it.
Yeah.
But it's like the ultimate defensive army. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's what it is.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it's... but some of it's... It falls that way by design of the game system than anything else, I think. It's lovely that it's in there. I mean, but it's... So I played a when one of the Triwiz, which was two 1,000 point lists, and I took an orc and goblin list and a goblin list.
Fantastic.
And the goblins were so poor. It was just like, oh god, this army is shit. Yeah,
but then you've got an aggressive army with a
defense army. Doesn't work. does not work at all. It's impressive that Jeff gets results out. It is credit to the game system that if you practice enough and if you play enough with one army, you can get results, no matter how bad it is. But,
The only time I've ever beaten Goblins is before Revolution, and I was using elves. Some dirty elves.
Yeah.
And they had rules to
They
feared elves. Elves had, like, virtually hatred or something against these fucking things. The Goblins couldn't do anything. They were, like, scared to even charge me because I smelled funny.
Yeah. Can't do it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Silver Elves just roam through the middle of them.
I mean, the only other build I can see with a Goblin list, which is different to what we, B and Barry, have both independently come up with, is you just hamper yourself. For some reason, you don't take the artillery.
How are you going to move?
Well, you max out on the Wolf Riders and the Chariots and the Heroes.
You mean they have to start taking, like, half a dozen Leadership 7 Heroes to try and move, and you're still not charging anything?
No.
It's so shit. So, if you didn't guess, I think they could be... What tier have we got? We need to go right through this. Because Witch Hunters got 3. I think Witch Hunters are better than these.
You think they are?
Witch Hunters, yeah.
Oh, these are tier 4 then.
They could go off the fucking end of the board, couldn't they?
Yeah, 3.5.
When we finish, we'll go back through.
I think these are easily worse than orcs.
Easily worse than orcs and goblins.
Oh yeah, they're much worse than orcs and goblins.
Just for the leadership alone.
Yeah, because the point of a game is that you move your troops, and you ain't moving your troops.
No. Your best troops have got negatives. You've got the worst command in the game, and you've got negatives on your best troops.
I mean, any scenario at all which, you know, involves anything, like, in it, as in, like, take that point to the battlefield, go to the centre, your army's mixed up, you are terrible at it. You know, like, you're so hampered by just the army itself. It's just shit. I mean, like, as in, like, it can have a false run of events because, I'll put it out there. I'll say an event that doesn't use scenarios and just plays pitch battle, and you end up getting 3 opponents who go too reckless against your goblins.
I don't think you can win.
No, I don't think you can win.
Because you'll hurt him and he'll just back off. Yeah. I can't do this. You're just going to slaughter me, so I'll just go away. Just turn around and run away. Brave Sir Robin. So I think that's what, as good a player as Jeff is, and he is a really good player, I don't think he come second last year?
Well, he can't win big.
Did he come second to you?
Yes, he did, yeah. With a goblin.
I mean, that takes some fucking doing. That takes some doing. Right, so goblins, tier 7.
Yeah, off the chart tier. 3 is the lowest we can give.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So, events update.
Mm-hmm.
Janus put up next year's fucking events. He's fucking keen, isn't he?
Just gets it organised.
There's two
dates down for the two Tribeways ones, and I'll read them out now.
I'll talk about Bruno. Bruno's coming. Hopefully, Sherwin's due to paint me the little Slayer miniature.
I can put up some posters.
And my little brake tracker should be done soon.
When are you going to put out the details of, like, the tour or whatever? I'm not, tour is the wrong word, but like
it's the campaign.
It's the back of
the book. Right. That's what I said.
Right.
If you ever read.
No.
I'm obviously readings for lessers.
Oh, okay. So just
the campaign system is the book.
Briefly cap that to me.
Well, it's a bit I can't do briefs, sir. If you get the Warmaster compendium.
Like this one.
Yeah, 1.1 or whatever.
Yeah, like this one.
And you get to the campaign rule at the back.
Okay.
We're playing that. I think there's a couple of things we're not playing, like we're not playing
Sea battles. Fort,
yeah, sea battles.
No!
And fortresses.
I want to play Man of War!
Yeah, but next year. There we go.
Alright, Campaigns of Conquest.
Mm-hmm. And Alish is providing the board for us to play on. You know, because you trap it, you start with hexes and you conquer other people's hexes and you get money and gold and resources.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably play, I don't know, maybe five or six turns.
So we're all going to be involved in the same campaign?
Yeah, and you play five or six games depending on how much time
you've got. And so how do you make sure that everyone plays a game?
Because it's in there.
Okay.
If you read it, it will explain everything.
I have not.
So basically what will happen, now will be the odd player out.
Right, okay.
So if there's like an even player, number of players that I'll play.
Yep.
And then the person who's in the worst position challenges.
Yes.
And then everybody ends up having to play somebody.
Yeah, okay.
And there's like handicap systems. It's not, obviously it's not Blood Bowl because it's quite old manny.
Yeah.
You're not going to have like crazy fucking rules.
All
but
right.
You can bring in mercenaries. You can spend gold to have more points to play with.
All right, okay, fair enough. Yeah. I'll have to read it. Naval operations.
We're not doing naval operations.
Oh.
We're not doing abstract battle resolution.
What is that? Is that where you don't fight the game?
They don't turn up that week or whatever.
Yeah, you have to move on. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because like one turn is everybody's game in that turn, and then you move on to like the second turn of the campaign.
Yes. Fair enough.
Second round.
Yeah, okay.
So let me go.
I can't.
We're not doing naval battles. Next year we'll do naval battles. Once we get this one settled down.
All right. I'll have to.
So be good.
So, what army would you suggest?
I'm taking ogres.
Because
I'm taking ogres.
Right. So, would you say an Empire army is a good army to take to this?
Take whatever you want.
Does a Skaven army good one to take to this?
If you want to play Skaven. You've got to remember that this is not a tournament.
I know it's not. Yeah, I get that.
So, take whatever you want to play and have fun with.
I mean, I can play very much like a Skaven.
If somebody's very good, I think you can gang up. I think you still have to play 1,000 each.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure how that works in reality. That might actually be a handicap. But then you could maybe spend your extra gold and get more fellas in.
All right, okay.
Mm-hmm. If somebody's getting away with it. Or you can all, as a group, we could all just pick on Janus. He's not going, is he?
Okay.
Janus not going. But no. Jim's going. Yeah. And Chris All's going. I'm going, you're going. We've got quite a few...
cool, Chris All is going.
Yeah, I think so. He arranged his whole diary around going.
Right, okay. Fantastic.
The international man of mystery he is.
Yeah, cool. I'll get my teeth done.
Right, so it's going to be good. So that's Bruno in February. Valentine's Day. Paul's birthday.
Yeah.
The day after Valentine's Day, actually. 15th.
So the Tri-Wiz dates are the 21st of March and the 14th of November.
Okay, and are we going to try and do this Milton Keynes thing? I think it was like the 27th. The alternative would be to do like a trip to Warhammer World.
Oh, yeah. So the Christmas War Master.
That's the
29th of December.
29th, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Right. So we should probably tell him at some point if we're going to go.
Well, I already have paid. That quite clearly says that I'm going.
Okay.
But,
for you,
yeah,
sir.
Like I'd do. But yeah, that and both. So why not?
Okay. Next year.
Yep.
Going to try and this is this year actually, so it doesn't really count.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Ancients in January,
11th of January.
We've got the Bruno in February,
14th of
We've got two Tri-Wizards events.
North of the Wall.
North of the Wall, and you've not done one yet. You're not doing one this year.
Well, the North of the Wall clashes with the same dates as the London GT.
Now the London GT, I don't think provided a tremendous amount of value. Really, for your £40 or £50 a ticket.
Sadly, it did not.
I mean, it may be good for your old 40k players because getting involved in like
which it did, which it
four,
wasn't,
600
which it
player,
which
events.
It wasn't, it did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But for us, I think we could do something a bit lower key and a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
We'd only spend
£60. The venue in London, what's it called?
The one, yes, that one.
Where Warmaster London takes place would be the better place to run it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So and there's also Paul's going out. You see Paul's set up.
Yes. My God.
I think he's trying to put on. Is he trying to put four or six tables in? He was talking about running events.
Though. Yeah, good. Like my God, it's like how much more do you need on the walls?
a lot of stuff. You just have to buy more armies. He wants a Beastman army. You've not got a Beastman army.
Yeah.
He wants to paint a Beastman army.
Okay.
We'll sell him that. Go on, sell him.
I mean, yeah, this guy put up on the Facebook group just his setup of his cave, and it's just
more
like,
than a cave.
Yeah, right? It's like you get, I think cave downplays it.
I mean, you did leave London.
So yeah, it's like.
So obviously, leaving London, you get to cash in your chips. It's you're at the casino.
Yeah.
Your stack's high.
Yeah, that's high.
I'll cash this in now and move out.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people do, don't they? And then go like flee to like even moving down to Chelmsford. I got like a house that was twice the size of the little flat I lived in London.
Yeah, yeah.
That was London, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So fair play to. So yeah, he was all about running an event out there.
That'd be lovely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the point is, I would like to run an event, but I haven't thought about dates yet or details of it, because obviously I can't be too critical of other tournaments, like tournament systems.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think there are already two more events going on, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
There was the Worcester.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an event that Paul was running at some...
Yeah, a convention he was talking
about. In June,
was
it, maybe?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah.
So there's quite a lot of events running around already, Paul. If you want to get one in there, you're going to have to...
pick the date,
Get in there, book the date.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, so I think your missus is nearly home.
I think so. The other thing... Oh, are you still recording?
No, yeah.
The other thing I want to mention is on the Rule Master Rules Committee, currently, we have... There's votes going on to put together the Nippon list.
Oh.
And for that then to be released out into the general public.
Yeah, but only as playtesting.
Only as playtesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, all that really means, isn't it, is then down to an individual tournament organiser whether they want to
include
it or not. But it looks good. I voted yes.
You always vote yes. So.
Yeah, obviously. But what's the point of voting no? You know, for anything ever. Yeah, you know, like. but yeah, it does look much better than what it was. Like if you wanted to play Japanese samurai in Warmaster, you can play the Nippon list. Yeah, it's got some demons in it.
Of course
it has.
With instability.
Yes.
Poor bastards.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Poor bastards.
Mm-hmm. No, it's from what the Nippon list was, that is a lot better.
Right, so I am free on that Milton Keynes one on the 29th. Of work, so I better get in touch with Paul then.
Yeah.
And pay Janice. Right, okay, so we're going to wrap this up. It'll be a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
To the next one.
Yeah. So it's about YouTube. So what we're going to do is a series of two series of YouTube videos.
Two series. Start small, sir. Not one series. Two series.
Two series. And one of them, and these are like, ideally we'll aim at 5-10 minutes of video time is all. But they will be the 101 series will be us explaining the rules of the game.
That's you. So I'll be filming.
Yes, exactly. It'll be me explaining the rules of the game. And going through each phase of the game system, so starting off with command, and just talking through the game's principles and physically showing them on the table.
Nice.
Then the 102 series will be going back through each of those like phases with tasty tidbits and how
tricks and tips,
and the subtletyness of it.
Okay.
Hopefully, on camera, I get the rules correct.
Always get told if you haven't. Yeah,
I'm sure I get told if I don't. YouTube Shorts. So when we're going to do some YouTubing, if we've got the time, we'll do a battle report. But if we don't have the time for that, we'll do a YouTube short.
Or if it's too cold, it would have been tonight.
It would have been bloody cold out there.
It would have been hard enough to do the podcast.
We've done a YouTube short. And I'm quite looking forward to that because I know in my head how I want to present it. And there isn't out there like a guide, like a bite-sized chunk of how you play the game.
Okay.
If we can get the camera angles right, that'll be really cool to do. Because a lot of people out there, a lot of little groups of people out there, like as in they often post up in the Facebook group, our little community is trying Warmaster, but no one knows how to play it.
It's not like anything else.
And then it could be like, they're not great, but get linked to these like 101 videos and like at least explain the basics.
Right, brilliant. They're not great. They will be great.
I want them to be great, but I'm just like being Britishly self-deprecating.
Very nice, very nice. So this was Warmaster Podcast episode 130.
Yeah.
With Paul and Barry.
Yeah.
Good night. Would you like to know more?